Psalms chapter 46. Ooh, it's almost 8 o'clock already. Amen. Let's get into this then. Psalms chapter 46. We just got back from the men's canoe trip. I always love that. And as Brother Kopczewski said during men's Sunday school, if you've never been on the men's canoe trip, it's a great time. Everyone should try it at least once. You might hate it and never go back, but at least you can say, I did it, I tried. Amen? And I'm not that outdoorsy. I know some people. I mean, I think I gained weight. We eat so much good food. People bring air mattresses. I mean, we don't sit on little camp chairs. There's basically recliners up there we're sitting on. Women, if you're hearing this, no, we rough it. It's hard. You would not like it. The outhouse is a little rough. You got to fight off the spiders to use the outhouse, but it's a good time. I encourage you to come. But one of my favorite parts about it is just I shared this up there, just being in God's creation and having some quiet. Amen. Having a time of quiet and peace where you're away from a lot of distraction. You're away from a lot of the normal day-to-day life. And it's a good pause. And that's one of the things that I love about being up there. And this is a famous verse here in Psalms 46, verse number 10. Let's read it. It's another reason why I like deer hunting. I do like to eat venison, but it's a good excuse just to sit there out in the woods. Amen. And then you can say, well, I was just so peaceful and so in tune with God, I didn't want to shoot at those deer that walked by. That means I missed. But it's a good time. That's one of the reasons I love going to go out with your Bible, sit up in the tree, stand out in nature where it's quiet, and to get to spend some time with God. And here in Psalms chapter number 46, verse number 10, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I think it's interesting in that verse, after he says, be still and know that I am God, he mentions the heathen and the earth. He doesn't say anything about the believers. Amen. The believers should already know that he is God, and we should already be exalting him as God, right? Amen? But the heathen one day will know. And if I believe the Holy Spirit can touch people's hearts and use his creation, use the Holy Spirit to draw men to him, if they could be still. But while we are still, when we have a moment of peace and quiet, we should use that time to do some things. And we're going to look at tonight quickly four. I typed it today, I should know. There's four other places in the Bible where God tells us to be still. And what we can do in that still time. One of my favorite things that Mel and I came up with as parents, you can write this down if you want. I'm going to write a book someday. It's probably be about a page and a half long about parenting. But one of our greatest inventions was quiet time. So what is quiet time? Anytime we're in the car and we say, quiet time, that means there's no talking. There's no poking. There's no knocking on the glass. There's no... And we start teaching our kids that like as soon as they can, like at 2 years old. Quiet time. And there's moments where, you know, can we listen to some music? Sure, so you put on some music. And then from the back of the minivan, Daddy, what happens? And I can't hear a thing they're saying, and then someone else is correcting them. And Mel's trying to talk to me. And okay, quiet time. And the day completely changes. Suddenly things get... Did you use this at all on your drive, brother? Quiet now. Amen. Now, I wish we could just do that with life. Just kind of get the, you know, pause. I need some moment of quiet. That's a lot harder to do. Amen? But it's important for us. And God wants us to have moments where we can just have quiet. Not so we can take a nap. Not so I can catch up on my Netflix shows. But because God wants to do something with us. And we're going to look at some of those things here tonight. Go over with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. This is right after the children of Israel ask Samuel to get them a king. They've rejected God as their ruler, and they want a king in Israel. And God leads Samuel to Saul. And this is when Saul and Samuel meet. Remember, Saul was sent out to find his father's asses. He couldn't find them. So they say, after a couple days of looking, let's go find the seer, which was a prophet. And the prophet in those days was Samuel. He was the priest, the prophet, and the judge. And they go find him, and that all happens in chapter number 9. We're going to skip the story, but we want to get down to verse number 25. The two of them meet, and Samuel already knows from God that Saul is going to be king, but Saul has no idea what's about to happen. In verse number 25, "And when they were come down from the high place in the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, Up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid the servant, pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." Why did Samuel tell Saul, be still a minute? So he could share with him the word of God. Saul had to take a minute. He was ready to get back home. His mission was accomplished. He didn't come to Samuel because he thought he was going to be king. He didn't come to Samuel because he needed divine wisdom in his life. No, he had one problem, a very practical problem. I don't know where my father's livestock is. Can you tell me so I can find them and go home? He wasn't spiritually seeking God. He didn't want to know, God, what's your divine will for my life? He didn't have big goals. But he also didn't know what God had for him. And God, through Samuel, told him, stand still a minute so I can share with you the word of God. And in chapter 10, verse 1, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? He had no idea this was going to happen. And he goes on in the chapter and he gives him some proofs of this calling. God has something he wants to teach us. God, through his word, wants to get a hold of us. God, through his word, wants to teach us, wants to show us his will for our lives. I think it's interesting here that he sends the servant ahead first. He had already talked Saul and Samuel had already talked publicly on the roof of the house. They had spent dinner together the night before. They had talked plenty. But this was a special message. This wasn't, hey, how you doing? How are things going? What's life like here? How's the family? No, this was, God has a divine message for you. And before I can give it to you, send the servant away. This is a private time with Saul and Samuel. We could say Saul and God, as God is using Samuel to give the message. He sends away a distraction. So often it can be hard to hear from God because we keep things like this with us all the time. And I love my cell phone. I love doing stuff on it. I like looking stuff up. I love playing games on it. But it's hard to have quiet time when this is always in your pocket and any minute it goes zzz. How many of you can ignore the zzz? Most of us, what's that? Who's that? I imagine I was, how many of you, I just turned my camera on. I mean, my thing on. Like, how many of you can like it when someone's like, hey, Brother Sutliff, how you doing today? Yep, interesting. Yeah, when are we going to get together, brother? Does he feel like I'm talking to him? Why? Because there's a distraction in front of me. This is a physical distraction that can distract us, but what's in your life as a distraction when God's trying to talk to you? We're looking down, we're looking up, we're looking over, we're listening to other things. And God has a special message for you. And he says, before I can give it to you, send the servant away. What else does the servant kind of represent? Kind of expectations. The servant knew Saul. Maybe if the servant was there, he would have said to Samuel, you know this guy? Do you know what he's like? Have you seen him before? I grew up with him. Maybe you don't got the best guy. He says, no, send him away. What has Jesus said about a prophet in his own country? Somebody help me?
No honor.
There's no honor. Maybe God wants to pull you aside a minute, away from people who know you, away from your family. Not so you can be free, not so you can stretch out your wings, but no. Because he just needs a minute alone with you to give you his call in your life. The servant was also a reminder of why they were there. Why did the servant go with Saul to find the asses. And Samuel says, wait, the mission God has for you is much bigger than finding these lost animals. It's bigger than what your father's mission for you was. It's bigger than the earthly mission you have now. I have a spiritual, eternal mission for you. Send the servant away. There's times in our lives where God wants to talk to us, but we need to set things aside in order to listen. And he doesn't just tell him God's plan, he doesn't just tell him God's will, but he anoints him. He doesn't just answer the question about his earthly needs, but he gives him a spiritual mission. He anoints him, he gives him a divine anointing, and he gives him proof that that's what God wants for him to do. But it all started with just a minute. Stand still and hear the word of God. That's why I love coming to church. There's times I wake up or it's around Wednesday and it's time for church, you know, I don't know if I want to. But God can speak to us. Yep. If we'll take a minute away from all the noise, away from all the craziness, and spend some time listening to God. He wants to speak to us. I know it's not always easy to get here. I know we're not always full of energy. I know sometimes there's other things you'd rather be doing. That's why I love conferences and youth camp. And times where we have church day after day after day after day. Why? Because sometimes you get here and it's not, the whole time you're still thinking about other things. What's going to be for dinner tonight? What do I have to get? I have to get up at this hour to do what? And it's hard to separate yourself from what's going on outside the walls in order to hear from God. But when we can come day after day after day after day, I believe the Spirit can slowly start to slow us down, clear our mind of everything else, and be able to hear God's voice. God wants to talk to us if we'll be still. Let's go forward a couple chapters. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Why be still? To hear the word of God. Number two, to reason of God. 1 Samuel chapter 12. This is right before Samuel's ready to die. Saul is king. He's put up in front of the people. He's anointed. And Samuel is giving kind of his end of life review. End of ministry review. He says, you know, you're my witnesses. You've known me from a child. He grew up in the house of God. You've seen my life. You've seen my testimony. And they say, we're your witness that you've not defrauded us. You've not done wrong. And then he goes on, if that's true, now if I really have served you truthfully and I really am the prophet of God, I've got one last message for you. Pay attention. And he begins to review what they've done. He sums up the story of Israel rather quickly, but he goes through a lot of the judges and he reminds them that time after time after time, God wanted to do something with you. You obeyed him for a while. And then you went back. And then God had to judge you. And then you pray, you get right with God. God frees you to do something with him. And then what do? As soon as that judge dies, they go back. And he reviews this quickly. And then let's go down to verse number six. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Aaron, or Moses and Aaron, and that brought you and your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. And he goes through the message that I just explained to you, and he shows them that God cannot bless a sinful life. God can't bless a sinful people. God wants to bless you, but he can't if you won't follow him. He's reasoning with them. Says, don't we have a reasonable God? Listen, I'm laying out an argument here for you. A reasonable argument. You want God's blessing on your life, then bless God. If my children want a chocolate at Walmart, they had better not be kicking and screaming and grabbing and biting and fighting the whole time we're in the store. Now, I don't like this where you walk in. If you're good, then I'll get you. We don't do that. I'm not going to bribe them with it. But if we get to the end of the store and I'm thinking about it, and then wait a minute. How many times did I have to tell you to stop touching things? How many times did you whine about this? How many times were you fighting with your sister? How many times did I have to go find you underneath the counter, hidden underneath some clothes or something? No, I'm not going to get you anything. Is that unreasonable? But yet with God, we say, Lord, I'm just going to do what I want. And then prayer meeting, Lord, please give me, please bless, please help, please teach, please show. Oh, church is over. Oh, I'm going to go back over here. And Samuel says, hold on. I want to reason with you. Be still. Listen. We serve a reasonable God. Verse number 22 says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you, I know his people, I know this is a promise to Israel, and we can't directly say we're his people, but I believe because of what Jesus did for us, that we are part of the family of God, amen? And we do have a special place in God's eyes, and I believe it gives him joy when a sinner repents and comes to the Savior. The angels of heaven rejoice. He's not, oh, man, Brother Bauman got saved. Oh, stink. I really wanted him to go to hell. Man, I hope he never serves me. No, he wants to save us and he wants to use us. And yet we keep wanting to go back to the world. And he's just waiting. I want to bless you. I want to help you. God has given us a reason not to do certain things. I don't believe what, you know, I know every family might have slightly different standards, slightly different convictions, but I believe the ones that we have aren't unreasonable. There's teens who think, and I know most of them are in class, so I can talk bad about them. I mean, no, I'm not going to do that. Who think, oh, my parents just don't understand. They just don't get me. The church is just way too strict. And they think our Christianity is unreasonable. What do you mean I can't go drinking? Well, how many of you could stand up and give testimony of how that hurt your life? What do you mean I shouldn't be, you know, dating and all the things? We don't have that many strict standards that teens usually complain about. It usually revolves around, you know, drinking, party, dancing, that kind of group. Dating, multiple people, doing whatever you want for fun kind of thing. I mean, there's not that big of a list, dressing in a certain way. It's not unreasonable standards, but we as parents need to be able to show why. When your child comes up to you and says, why shouldn't I listen to? Why shouldn't I go to? Why can't this person be my friend? We should be able to, just like Samuel said, stand still and let me reason with you. Because God says this in His Word. Because if you make that decision, you don't understand, but so many will give testimony how it ruined their life. Because you don't understand the consequences. And let me show you. You know what the easy answer is? Because I said so. I like those words. Amen. I've used them plenty of times. That's when we're talking about the things of God, that's not going to help your child become a follower of God. That's going to raise up a rebellious young person who's waiting for the first chance. When they have freedom, none of this Christianity makes sense. Parents, you need to be able to understand why you do the things you do. Why we have the standards we have. Why there's certain shows they shouldn't watch. Why you say that kind of music is wrong. Why you say you should dress in this way. Why you can't just, no, that's not the right person for your life. Why? And I know as a parent, I don't like being challenged. And I have a certain child who would ask me why all day long, my perfect child. And want to know why. And some things, it's just, because that's just the rule, okay? But when it comes to your spiritual convictions, we've got to be able to reason. From the Bible, why we do what we do. And God wants to show us first. If we'll take a minute to stand still, study and hear the voice of God. I was just listening to a discussion about evolution today. And we were talking with Brother Parrott up at the men's canoe trip about some of the things. And it was interesting. This was a group of mathematicians who are rejecting, well, two were mathematicians, one was a biologist, I believe, who was rejecting Darwin's theory. They were all about it. And now they've come to a point where they've studied enough evidence that they say it is impossible. I mean, it gets deep fast, but to change make a new protein in the sequence of your DNA sequence that would produce a change, that would fit in, let's just say. One that would fit in, that would actually make a protein, is like 1 to the 10th, 1 to the 10 to the 77th, which is a huge number. And then that's just making a protein. Will that protein work? Will it cause a change? Will it kill the thing? And then it has to come in at just the right time. If it comes in too late, then it doesn't change a species. It might make, you know, they say their fur a little thicker, or change the color, which they're fine with. All that stuff can happen, but will it make a new species? If it comes in too early, then the thing won't grow anymore. It'll just kill it. Every disease, that any time things change in the body too early, it results in death. So it's not unreal. That's one of the things people challenge all the time. You believe in that creation stuff? Yeah, it's not unreasonable. The world is teaching you, oh, that's just silly, that's just nonsense. And more people, when they study, and the amount of our intelligence, we'll go on to this, because this is the next point, they're blending together. Let's go to Job 37. Why stand still? First off, to hear from God, to reason with God and with others. In Job chapter 37, to consider the wondrous works of God. Job chapter number 37, we only have this one and one more. Job chapter number 37, verse number 14. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and what? And consider the wondrous works of God. This is something else we talked about up at the canoe trip. Elihu here is the last of Job's friends to talk. And we go back to the chapter. He goes through in chapter number 35, 30, 34, 35, 36, 37. And he goes on to describe who God is. And if I went to verse number 1 to chapter 37 when I was studying, and it says, at this my heart trembleth, and is moved out of his place. And I said, oh great, what's that at this? So I had to go back a chapter. And then it says, he also proceeded. Okay, what happened before? Chapter 4, and he spake moreover, and he keeps going back and back. So I was reading a lot, we're not going to go through it all, but let's just look at some of the things. Chapter 36, verse number 2. Some of the wondrous works of God. Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my what? Maker. Sounds like the Bible's teaching creation. Man, God is our maker. For truly my words shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is mighty, and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. Let's go down to verse number 22. Behold, God exalteth by his power. Who teacheth like him? Who hath enjoined him his way? Or who can say, thou hast wrought iniquity? Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. Every man may see it. Man may behold it afar off. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. He goes on and he describes the little things of creation, the rain, the wind, some of the animals of creation. He says, God is great. He can't be known. And thousands of years have passed since this was written. And we've changed a lot as people. There's a lot of technology. We think we figured out a lot of things. We can describe how come the rain happens. We can describe some of the things that he mentions in this chapter. But the more people study the sciences, whether it's in a macro kind of celestial level, or it's inside a cell, the more we realize we have no idea how everything works. Because you cannot know him. And the more you study it, and the more you study it, the more you find out there's no way this was an accident. It's impossible mathematically for evolution to work. Impossible. And yet, the world can't accept God. So they're going to fill young people, they're going to fill us with something that is unreasonable.
That's right.
You say, that's impossible. The numbers don't add up. Do you know how incredibly rare that would have to be for just one new species to be made, let alone everything you see around you?
Yeah.
God is reasonable. But you know, you hear that day after day after day. Your kids are hearing it day after day after day. You know, it would be a great benefit to us to remember the mighty and the wondrous works of God. Not just in the blessings He's done in our life, not just the things He's done to save us. That's usually the great answer. The Lord saved me, praise the Lord. That's a good answer, amen? We should be glad of our salvation. But consider, He was talking here about just the little things, the rain. I couldn't invent that, could you? Look into some things. Don't be scared. Do a little reading, amen? Brother Parrott's got great books he'll recommend to you, right, Brother Parrott? Amen? That talk about the wonder of God, if we'll take some time to consider it. Yeah. Be still. Consider the wondrous works of God. He wants to show us His greatness. Sometimes we get this feeling that we've got it figured out. You know, mankind's basically got it all done. But the more you consider, the more you realize we have no idea how this place works. From the tiniest thing in our body to the impossible size of the universe. Let's go on to the last one, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here in this chapter, we have three armies coming together to fight against Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. The children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and the children of Seir, I don't know how to say it, S-E-I-R, amen? And they've come together to fight against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat sees the army, and he realizes this is hopeless. There's no way we can defeat what's coming at us. Not even close. So what does he do? He declares everyone to seek God, to pray, and to fast. Verse number 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. He didn't fear the Lord at this time. He feared the armies that were coming against him. And set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Verse number 13, this is an interesting little thing here where it says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their who? Little ones, their wives, and their children. They got little ones and children. Amen? I don't know what the difference is, but amen. Everyone's there. You got the men, the ladies, the little ones, and the children. Everyone is come to seek the Lord. What an example for us. Amen? I believe as the father, as the husband, you need to be the spiritual leader of the home. But we also need to include our families. Amen? Seek the Lord together. Share what you learned from the Lord with the family. So that the little ones and the children isn't just some made-up thing that, you know, daddy says. No, but they learn to walk with God as well. That's not the point. Let's keep going. Amen. They saw this impossible army coming at them, and they realized there was no way to win. So they declare a fast, they declare a prayer, everyone's coming together, and the Lord fills a man to share, to be a prophet in the moment, and share the people God's answer. And in verse number 17, it says, ye shall not need. This is the Lord talking through, what's the guy's name? Jehaziel. But ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. I like how this verse starts when it says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Life has a way of slowly wearing you down. Amen? And it's not just from age. It's not just from running out of energy. But it seems like when one thing goes bad, there's another thing right behind it, and another thing right behind it, and another thing right behind it. And by the time you almost got the first one figured out, you've got three more that you're dealing with. And by the time the second one's figured out, there's seven more that you're dealing with. And it just keeps growing incrementally until you feel like Jehoshaphat did. There's too many things coming against me. I don't know what to do. What should I do? No. Be still. Yeah. And watch the Lord. If we're doing the first things, we're seeking the Lord. We have that fellowship with the Lord. We have His direction in our lives. He wants to fight for us. Just like He wants to bless us, He wants to fight for us. Just like He wants to take care of us and bless our houses, bless our families, bless our church, He wants to fight our battles for us as well. If we'll come to Him and we'll let Him fight. Now, not every battle in the Old Testament, God said this. Stand still and just watch. There's plenty of battles where He sent, you're going to fight. I'll be there with you. I'll give you the victory. But they had to go in and swing the sword and do the dirty work, and people died. But in the end, they got the victory if they were fighting with the Lord. That's most of our lives, amen? I don't believe if you just sit back on the lazy boy and you pray a lot that God's just going to take care of everything in your life. He may if He wants to, but God wants us to be in the battle, amen? God wants us to be out there as ambassadors, as the good soldiers of the Lord. We hear time and time again how it's a spiritual battle, how it's a battle where we're Christian soldiers, amen? We've got to be involved. But there's moments where you say, in all my strength, with all my energy, all my know-how, all my resources, I can't beat this one. Turn to God. I imagine, I've never boxed. I think the first time I got hit in the head, I'd probably just say, nope, I'm done. I like to think I'd be tough, but I have no reason to say I would be. Amen? Because I've never been put in that situation. And the few times I have bumped my head, I feel dizzy awful fast. So I don't think I would be a good boxer. Amen? Yeah. I'd get hit once. Oh, okay, I'm done. I'm good. You win. But I imagine, you know, imagine with me now that your problems, the battles you're facing are guys coming in the ring. Anyone ever play that old Nintendo boxing game? The first one, what was it called? I don't remember. Yeah, and the first guy you fight is smaller than you and he's all skinny and tiny. And I got this guy. And then it builds up harder and harder and harder and harder. And then it's impossible. I've never beaten it. But thank you, brother. That's because you're tougher than me. Amen. By the time you get to the end, it's just, you know, huge guy. It would be impossible in real life. But imagine when we get to that point where Jehoshaphat was and we say, Lord, I'm scared. Lord, this is an enemy I know I can't beat. I don't know what to do. Let's get the family together. Let's pray. Let's fast. Let's seek the Lord. And then God says, why don't you wait right here? I'll take care of this one. Just wait over here. You've done your part. God gives us that little tap on the shoulder. My turn. And He steps in, and He's ready to fight the battle for us. Verse number 21, I like this part. They rose early in the morning and went forth. They hear the word of the Lord. God has told them to stand still. What do? And they went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Israel, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of His holiness. And they went out before the army and said to say, praise the Lord for His mercy and endureth forever. Did they praise after the battle? Hello? No! This was before the fight ever started. They've sent out people. Let's start praising the Lord, amen, for the victory we have. Why? Because they had faith in God's word. They had faith that God told us He's got this one. Let's just start praising Him for what He's already going to do. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And it goes on to tell us that the two teamed up against the other one, and they were going to try to kill the people of Mount Seir. And then after they ambushed their own army, the third group here, they started fighting each other. And by the time the children of Israel found the army, they were all dead to every man. Not a person left. God said, I got this one. If we'll stand still and let Him fight for us. There's times in life when it's our responsibility. We've got to step up and do our part. But I believe you know you'll get to a point in your life where you'll realize, not this time. What do? Oh, I'm going to call my uncle. I'm going to go find my brother. No. Get your family together. Pray. Humble yourself. Fast. And say, Lord, we need you to take this one. And I believe you will. Be still. A lot of times people come to a pastor and they went, oh, what should I do, pastor? I got this problem, I got this problem, I got this problem. What do I do? You know what you should do first? Be still. Be still. Even before you pray, even before you read your Bible, take a minute first. Be still. Say, God, what do you need to show me first? Am I missing something out of your voice? Let me hear your voice, Lord. Am I thinking this life, this world's all about me? Do I need to glorify you first? Think about your wondrous works. What do I need to do? First off, be still. Then get up and do what the Lord shows you. Then spend some time on your knees in prayer. Then read your Bible. And God can use that time. It's all kind of mixed together there. But make sure you have that time. For the kids aren't running around. Where there's not music playing at the same time. When you're not checking your cell phone between every three verses. When you can just be still and hear from God. Let's take a minute now. I'd ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads. I believe God's talked to some people here tonight. And you know the battles going on in your life. You know when it was the last time that you've had that quiet time. Maybe in your life today, you need to do what we do in the car and just say, hold everything, it's quiet time. I need to spend some time with God. Maybe you want a purpose in your heart tonight. Before I go to bed or first thing tomorrow, I need some time with just me and God. Maybe at the point where you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm like Jehoshaphat there at the end. But I need you to fight for me. Or maybe you're just looking at your family, looking at your kids, looking at maybe your own doubts in your faith, and you need, Lord, reason with me a bit. Show me why. Show me why I believe the Bible. Show me why. Reason with me. And then, Lord, if you believe those things, or help me, if I believe those things, help me to teach others and reason with them. And you say, I'm all set, Pastor. It's a good time in my life. I'm winning the battles. I've got a relationship with the Lord. Then just take a minute and consider His wondrous works and praise Him for who He is.